Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and a broker here at Daniels Trading. Thanks for everyone who listens. If you like this podcast, feel free to recommend it. You can also sign up for the newsletter and the podcast for free on our website, Turner's Take, or you can text number 33777 with the message Turner. That is the message Turner. Number is 33777. Go ahead and text that 33777 message Turner. You'll get the podcast and the newsletter for free. All right, so let's dive into this week. The WASD report came out. It looks like not a whole lot went on. I mean, when you take a look at these things, corn exports came down a little bit, but ethanol use went up a little bit. For soybeans, exports did go up some because China has been buying some beans. It wasn't a full revamp of export expectations due to phase one, but the USDA did inch them up a little bit more for soybeans. It's going to be interesting to see what the USDA says for next year. Not so much for old crop, but for the new crop, which we won't really start to see until the Ag Forum, which is the end of February. I'll say it's February 20 and 21. I'll double check on those dates. Wheat market. Exports went up about 25 million bushels, so ending stocks came down 25, but our stocks use it still well above. Also on the WASD, one thing that caught my eye was rice imports went up, which sometimes can signify a top in these markets. So if we remember back in 2017, hard red winter wheat went to $8. A lot of us thought, a lot of people thought it could go as high as 10 at one point. The reason being is when you looked at the balance sheet, we were going to have to do severe price rationing. Now, here's the thing. That can happen, but there's always one wild card in that, or two. One, how short bought the commercials are, how much they have to buy that they've already contracted out. But number two, can you import, you know, stocks that are needed and at what price? So in 2017, spring wheat, the hard red spring wheat got up to $8, and at that point it made more than enough sense to start importing similar quality wheat from Europe. And that was the end of the rally. Over the summer, we saw the same thing with corn. At a certain point, when corn was above 450, it made more sense to start importing corn from other areas. You know, and we saw that in the southeast of the United States, which was importing corn from South America. That tends to cap rallies. Reason why I bring this up, in rice, we're importing corn. The USDA mentioned for rice that imports would go up, and they set the price for about $13 they thought would be the average on rice. So rice is now in the 13s. Imports have gone up. I don't think we're gonna come cratering down, but you gotta start asking questions on, you know, maybe we just kind of stay high for the rest of the marketing year until we get the new crop supply. So we've been, you know, in rice's corner for a while here, since we're in the high 11s, low 12s, we're in the mid 13s now. And this is the first time where I'm starting to question, you know, maybe the momentum is done, and it has everything to do with imports, because we do not have a global supply issue. We have a U.S. supply issue. When you have global supply issues and a U.S. supply issue, that's how you can get $8 corn and beans well into the teens. If you just have the U.S. supply issues and not the global supply issues, you know, that means corn's only making it to 450, you know, or thereabouts in the summer, or soybeans can trade in the tens for a while, but you know, not for a very long period of time. You know, wheat, you know, maybe wheat's a different animal these days, but you get where I'm going with that. So that's interesting. We'll have to take a look at the rice. Maybe time to take a little profit on that, if not all of it, maybe just some of it. So that was it for the WASDE. What I will say here too is, now that the WASDE report is come and gone, what's going to be interesting is this ag form, because with the ag form, you get a couple of things going. One, you get the acres. Well, the first one, which I think a lot of the trade figures out, is the trend line yield. And I think what, based on what I've been seeing, the trend line yield looks to be 178.5 for corn, and soybeans, I want to say it's 50 or 50.5 on the trend line yield. So that's where it's probably going to be when that, within a half bushel, all right? So that's where we'll probably be with the trend line yields, and that's going to be kind of known. What isn't known is, what is the USDA going to initially estimate as new crop acres? Is it going to be 95 corn, 85 soybeans? And if so, what's the use going to look like? You know, the USDA added a little bit of phase one demand, and it's really from the old crop beans China either bought or was signaling to buy, which is fine. You know, 50 million bushels of soybeans extra, and, you know, 50 million bushels times, let's call it $9. You know, it's $500 million of extra demand that China has committed to there. So, you know, a long way from, you know, 40, you know, the extra 13 billion, but, you know, it's there. And the USDA is just starting to account for it. What's going to be interesting is the ag forums forward looking to the new crop. And a lot of us think China's going to make a good run, at least, at filling some of this commitment that they said they would do, because they definitely don't want the tariffs to come back. What the ag forum that will comment on that. Like, they will have balance sheets, or they should anyways, and there's going to be some kind of comment on demand most likely. So that is going to be real interesting to see where they think things will be. After that, we don't get a real good look on new crop estimates until the May WASDE. So the ag forum's big. It's the end of February, and after that, we're going to have, you know, a little bit under 3 months before we hear from the USDA again about what new crop could look like. So those are the catalysts going on. As far as marketing goes and trading, we'll be selling new crop rallies, especially in corn, buying the breaks in the old crop. Soybeans we're going to be patient with. I'll tell you what, that soybean number I thought was bullish for the WASDE. We're at about a 425 carryout with use of a little bit over 4 billion. Puts our stock to use right at 10%. You know, I know global stocks are big, but having soybean prices under $9 doesn't really feel right with ending stocks, stock to usage being at just above 10%. I think the problem is the South American harvest is right around the corner. And there are large global stocks, and we're seeing South America contracting and selling beans out, and it's not coming to the United States, and that doesn't help things. But if we get 85 million acre soybeans, and we're only producing, and I have a trend line yield, and we're just producing how much we use, we have any hiccups, weather issues, China ends up buying a lot more beans from us, whatever it may be, there is room to run in the soybean market. There's a seasonal that's coming out, or has just come out, for MRCI, something that I like. It's buying May soybeans, selling May Kansas City wheat. I do like that. I think, you know, what's interesting, the reason why that's a seasonal is when we come out of this period, the market is pricing in basically usually a big South American crop, and then the markets can rally after that's priced in, can rally as we start to switch over to basically issues with planting, or just the start of weather premium built into the United States crop. Kansas City wheat prices are pretty high, plus the weather premium will start coming out of the wheat market as it's getting ready for harvest. July, just so you know, for the wheat markets, July is the new crop. So May would be that last month in the old crop, kind of like sep corn there. So I like that. That's going to be interesting to come out again. It's an MRCI trade, but I'll be writing about it in the newsletter a little bit. There's a cotton bull spread if you're a believer in, you know, China coming in and fulfilling some of their pledges to buy ag products in the United States. May versus December cotton is an interesting spread to take a look at. I think the crude oil market's gotten pretty beat up. I'm going to be taking, and we're at a fairly low price right now. You know, the markets usually sink for a month or two when you get these, you know, virus scares like SARS and a few of the others, Ebola, H1N1. But eventually they come back. The July versus East crude oil spread looks pretty interesting. If you want to play that technically, seasonally, and fundamentally. And finally, corn. You know, bears spreading. I think we have a lot of corn. I know we're tight right now and the basis is high. But if you look at the acres, you look at the usage, you look at all the corn available down in South America coming to the market, farmers are, holding it, are really holding it, but they're going to have to sell it at some point. The bear spread, you know, I know we're around even on the July versus East, or maybe we're even at like a 3 cent carry. But if we have the amount of acres that we think we have, and South America has it, and you know, swine flu is still something we're dealing with. We're not seeing feed numbers go through the roof or anything like that. It's actually quite the opposite. You would think the seasonal pressures of July versus East on the bear spread would also be a factor this year too. So those are the kind of spread trades we're looking at right now on the spec side. The July East crude, this May soybeans versus May Kansas City wheat. May cotton versus East cotton, and then the bear spread on East July corn. If you have any questions, I'll put those in the newsletter, but if you have any questions about them, why we're looking at them, what we think, always feel free to contact me too. And again, on the rice, this import number has caught our eye, and we're going to have to figure out if we want to bail on it, or if we're going to hold it for a while, or maybe take off a little position. But I did not like to see that the imports rising the way that it did on the WASI. As far as everything else, for the hedgers out there, I think with old crop corn, if it makes sense for you, I think we can start looking at riding straddles. I don't see a whole lot of volatility in the corn market. It's not going to be a big winner. But if you know you're going to sell some corn, you maybe want to sell some covered calls on the rally, and then really selling the board. Here's the advantage of selling the board versus doing it in the cash market. If you have storage. If you have storage, you want to do it on the board. Because if you're selling these corn around $4, when we get to November, we could probably roll these to July for about 20, 25, 30 cents. And then all of a sudden, on a board basis price, you're selling December corn around 425, 430. If you don't understand how that works, give me a call. I'll happy to go through it with you. But I know a lot of farmers use the futures markets for, they'll use the futures market for the buybacks, but they'll sometimes sell a lot on the board. I mean, on the cash market with the elevator. I think that's fine if you don't have storage or you have any intention of storing anything. If you do, for the bushels that you do intend on storing, make the carry work for you just the way the elevator does. You sell the futures, you collect the carry between now and December, and then you store it, and then whatever it may be, the Dece March, the Dece May, the Dece July, you roll it and you sell that carry too. And again, you could make, I mean, the storage rates at the exchange are going from 5 to 8 cents per month. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to, that's where the carry should be, but if we have a lot of bushels, if there's a lot of grain out there, which could happen at 95 million acres and a trend line yield, then those spreads are going to widen out. And it is, you know, I got to tell you one thing I've noticed, and it's really sad to hear, but farmers I talk to, they're more getting out of the game this year than I can remember. And it's, you know, got that, you know, or they're thinking about taking on second jobs, or they just can't get the financing from the bank anymore. And I think it's a good reflection here, unfortunately, of, You know, corn is a 350 to 420 range market, right? Where the old crop, you know, at on the spot month when we're not in a weather market, when there's plenty of supply, is going to be in the 350s or thereabouts. And then the summer rallies are like in the low fours. And in a normal year, that's where it is. And if you can't make that work year after year, I think it's hard to get lending. I think it's hard to keep on doing it. We're going to see more consolidation. And that's why if you got to use the futures markets, if you're going to be in that side of the business, you got to use the futures markets. And the market is basically saying, here's the carry. Do you want it or does the elevator want it? Right? I would think, you know, if you can somehow manufacture 430 on the board for corn, I think you got to do that. I really do. And you can always buy some back if you need to in the old crop. But if you can lock that in, I know that's what it's going to be based on the futures price. Or have a pretty good, I mean, the $4 you could have definitely locked in a lot of it. And if you're selling March 21, we still can. And then you can roll it. And then if you have the storage, you roll it. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it, but it's a little discouraging. Some of the conversations I've had over the past couple of weeks about some guys that are, granted a little bit on the smaller side of the farm, you know, compared to a lot of the clients that we have. But, you know, those guys, you know, we've been saying this for a while. Guys are eventually going to get squeezed out because of the margins, and we're seeing it. So the only way I know of not to fall victim to that is to use the carry in your favor. Again, you can always feel free to contact me more about that. So anyways, that is the podcast for the day. Actually, I don't want to end it on a down note here. Just to be a little bit more positive, corn will have a rally in the new crop to $4 at some point. I'll be very surprised if it doesn't. It will. You got to use that to your advantage. As far as soybeans are concerned, there's a rally coming. At some point, there is definitely a rally coming, and there will be much better prices to sell at. I think we just got to be patient with that. So there's the good news, and wheat is a good price. If you don't think wheat's a good price now, we could be a dollar lower next year. So, I mean, maybe that's why we have so many lower wheat acres here over the years. But that is just, unfortunately, the reality of it all. So listen, if you need help with your marketing, if you like these kind of spread trading on the spec side, always happy to talk to anyone about that. You can give me a call at 312-706-7610. And if you like Turner's Take, you like the podcast, you want to recommend it to a friend, great. If you don't already subscribe to it, just take out your phone, text the number 33777, that's 33777, put the message in as Turner. They'll ask you for your email address. But yeah, 33777, messages Turner, hit send, and we'll get you all set up with that. So have a great week, everyone. If you need help with your trading, your marketing, we have great online platforms here. We also have Broker Assisted. I work with farmers, ranchers, traders, whatever it may be. Feel free, give me a call. Have a great week. Oh, and Monday's closed for President's Day, so have a great long weekend too, if you're also lucky enough to get that day off. All right, and Valentine's Day is Friday. Got a lot going on. All right, have a good one, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.com. www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.